Let me invite you tonight over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together here in your name. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might enable us to set aside the cares and the responsibilities of this life, that we might hear from you. And we'll give you the praise for that. Speak to our hearts. Lord, build us in the faith that you've given to us, that we might be the examples of your grace and mercy. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is Two Choices for Life. Two choices, really, for the life of a believer. The lust of men or the will of God. The lust of men or the will of God. And so when we take a look at this portion of Scripture right here, we find Peter, an amazing, really, transformation has taken place in his life, and he's talking about now suffering and allowing the suffering and the work that suffering brings. And that is contrary to the nature of our flesh. Remember when the Lord told Peter and all the disciples he was getting ready to go to the cross, and he took the Lord by the arm and said, "That shall never be," right? And of course, that's where he received the message from the Lord that he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." We are so prone to do that. And it's an easy thing to do. And that really is where the battle takes place. What are we going to do? Faith and the word faith and the word trust are interchangeable. They're the same thing. We're either going to trust the Lord, or we're going to trust ourselves. We're going to trust the strength of the flesh. And God doesn't want us to do that, because what we're saying is, "Lord, I trust you in spite of what the consequences are." The Bible doesn't tell us that we're not going to suffer for serving the Lord. He doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible tells us that the way of the cross leads to the crown. It's the way it is. Dying to self and being an example in spite of the consequences. It's easy to have this mentality. Well, if I do this for God, then this ought to be the results, right? If I do this for the Lord, then this ought to be the results. But that's putting God into our thinking and not realizing, what he wants to do. So, for example, with the life of Joseph, he was faithful. I believe even in his younger days, he was faithful to the Lord, and he was sold by his brothers. And you would say, "My goodness, why? How could that happen to him? I mean, here he is serving the Lord. He's being faithful. He's being true. And now he's sold by his brothers. Then he's in Potiphar's house. Was he faithful and true? And God blessed him in Potiphar's house. And what happened? Potiphar's wife, right? And then what happened after that? He got thrown into prison. But then he was even faithful there, and was able to be the testimony of the grace of God, where God allowed him to shine there, even in that difficult situation, and he was even promoted in the prison. Then we know the story between the butler and the baker, and he got forgotten for another 2 years. How could God do that? That was just in case anybody was sleeping. How could God do that? Because it was part of his will. And what he's doing is he's causing us not to lean on our own understanding, but that we might trust him no matter what. Is God faithful for us to place that kind of faith in him? And we have to go back to the cross. We'll see a couple of things tonight. But I want to remind you of something. I don't know if you're aware of this. Four times, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "But the just shall live by faith," right? And specifically in Habakkuk, by his faith. But it's not really our faith, it's the faith that God has given to us through salvation. It begins there. He affirms and confirms that as we experience his grace and faithfulness in our life. Did Abraham's faith grow from the very moment that he was called? Did it grow? Yeah, when he said, "Hey, come on." The Lord said, "Here, come. I want you to go to a country. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. I want you to..." Why? "I want you to trust me." God's not playing games. And Abraham did. He left. He was Abram, of course. And then he promised him. And did Abraham have failures? Yeah, he did have failures. He told the king of Egypt that Sarah was his sister. Well, it was half sister, but he was trying to save his own neck. And so then he promised him a son. And then after he gave him a son, he asked him to offer him up as a sacrifice. Why? Because God said through Isaac, you're going to have a multitude of children, right? And so the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that Abraham believed the Lord that he would raise him up from the dead. It's why he did it, because it was going to be through him. So that was a lot of faith, a lot of trust. So in the book of Romans 1:17, it also says the just shall live by faith. In Galatians 3:11, it also says the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 10:38, again, it says the just shall live by faith. Did you know it was there that many times? Four times. Once in the Old Testament, where it all started, and then and three times in the New Testament. May I tell you this? You may find this hard to believe. The God of the Old Testament is the same exact God of the New Testament. He has never changed. He has been misunderstood, but he has never changed. His own people misunderstood him, and it's possible that you and I might also misunderstand him as well. He wants us to understand him, but it's possible that we might misunderstand him. Okay, I want to start off the message like this. Question, why should we serve and suffer for Jesus Christ? Because if you're going to serve him, be not deceived, suffering is in the mix. If you're going to serve, there's going to be suffering. And why is there going to be suffering? Why does there have to be suffering? Because we have to deny ourselves. We have to allow, if we want God's will, then we have to surrender our will. If we want God's will, then we have to surrender our mind to his. We have to say, there are going to be things that are not going to make any sense. Will I still follow the Lord? Peter dealt with that, did he not? And remember when all the disciples left the Lord when he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and they misunderstood. Jesus didn't mean for them to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they left. He looked to the 12 and he said, will you also leave? And of course they said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Now I'm saying that to say that it was not easy for them, but they had the resolve to go with him. There was failure, there were struggles, but they went, they followed the Lord, and the Lord blessed. Look at verse 1. Why should we serve and suffer for Jesus Christ? Verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered. For who? For us. So why should we serve and suffer for Jesus? Because he paid the price for our eternal life. And then not only that, but he says this. He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. We can be armed with the same mind of Christ. God will give us the mind of Christ. He will give us the wisdom and the understanding. What was the Lord all about? He understood his purpose and direction and which way he was going. And he understood his Father. Now, does that mean that the Lord didn't have any difficulties and struggles? Remember, he was God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh and he experienced every difficulty and every hardship that you and I will ever encounter. Everybody forsook him. Do you remember that? And then he even asked the Father if it be possible for that cup. He knew what he was getting ready to face. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. For why? For who? Why? For us. For us. So, why should we serve and suffer for Christ? Because he did it for us, and he had a mind that was committed for our salvation. When we're in the battle, when we're in the midst of walking by trust, by faith, it doesn't mean that everything makes sense to us. It doesn't mean that everything works the way that we think it should work, but I am committed and resolved to my Savior. And then the Lord says there's this transforming work. When you stop leaning to your own understanding and walk by faith in the truth of the Word of God, notice what he says here. Let me read verse 1 again. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He's saying there's when you are allowing this work to take place, you are battling with sin, and the Lord intervenes on that. When you're focused, and you're going to see that a little bit more here in just a minute. So he's introducing this idea at the very beginning, and he's going to define it as we go through these verses right here. But he's saying there's a work of God that takes place when we are living by trust or by faith in the Lord himself, in his word, in his truth. When it doesn't seem to work or make sense, we are still going to be committed to what he has said. All right? So how should we live the rest of our time? And remember, we're being delivered from sin. There's something that is taking place, and he's reminding the believers in verse 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. When we are denying ourselves, when we are arming ourselves with the same mind, and when we are willing to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, when we're willing to trust by faith the promises and the direction of God, even though things aren't working out the way we think they should, God says, I'm going to be doing a work in the background. If anybody would have looked at Joseph's life, they would have said, man, did he choose the wrong path. Man, he should have just kept his mouth shut about his brothers and went along with his brothers and participated with his brothers, and his brothers would have never turned on him. Man, oh man, he should have just gave in to Potiphar's wife. Nobody would have ever known. Oh, God would have. Oh, God would have, and he knew that. Oh, but the world would say, nobody would have ever known. And you can have the accolades, and Potiphar's wife would see to it probably that you would get advancements, and she would speak favorably of you to Potiphar. Maybe even adopt you as a son of theirs. Was that the will of God? See, there's a way that is prosperous in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of man, that are contrary to the way God sees them. And do you know what? Did God promote him? Absolutely. Exactly the way that he wanted. How about David? Listen, when he was slaying his thousands and ten thousands, remember the song? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Oh, that sat well with Saul, didn't it? And then what happened? He was hot after David. And maybe David became the example. That's what happens to people that turn on the king. But he didn't. And he stayed faithful to the Lord. And did God fulfill the promise? Will God fulfill the promise in your life and mine if we stay faithful? Listen, there's no doubt. The world goes in a different, complete different direction than the Lord. So there are going to be experiences. We're going to suffer because this world is under the rulership of the devil. And we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And we need to be making sure that we ask God for guidance, that everything that we do in the world is according to his word, or we will compromise the word thinking that that's the thing to do and it'll be all right with the Lord, not realizing we'll miss out on some things. So let me go quickly here and show you what's going on. So look at verse 3. And the Lord here through Peter is speaking about the past life of a believer. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Are they suffering? And by the way, he says, for in time past of our life. Listen, this is why the Bible says that there's nothing foreign or strange that is happening in your life that hasn't happened to every believer that is faithful. Everybody. If you have to make your decision. You have to make up your mind. Make your choice. Whose friend are you going to be? The world has given me absolutely nothing of great value. Everything I have that's of any value is wrapped up in my God. So I'm either going to be committed and convinced by that, by experience, by the way, God, listen, you could have come to the end of Daniel's life. He'd said, I never would have changed a thing. Even all the suffering and being ripped away from your family and your parents, oh yeah. He would tell you that. Would Paul tell you the same thing? Would Joseph have told you the same thing? Do you remember what he told his brothers? They were all worried when Jacob died. And it caused him to break his heart. Hey, he said, you meant it for evil, but look how he saw it. God meant it for what? For good. Did Joseph come to that conclusion himself, or did God bring him to that place? See, God will bring you and I to the same place. So he says, hey, look, they think it's strange that you don't run with them. They're speaking evil of you in verse 4. Look at verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Because we've been made alive in Christ. They're still dead is why, and they don't understand it. Notice the cause for this change. Look at verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God, how? In the Spirit. You're going to be judged by the world. And it's not going to be a favorable judgment. But let me ask you, whose favor do you want? Theirs or God's? So you're going to have to weigh it out, is what the scriptures tell us here. Moses forsook Egypt and the sin of this world. Better to do that for a season than to miss out on the blessings of God. He made a choice. He said, I'm either going to enjoy... He would tell you, he lived how long did he live? 120 years? 40 years, Egypt, 40 years in the desert, and 40 years with a stiff-necked people. Amen? Did I get that right? Right? 120 years. He would tell you, it just went just like that. Went just like that. Can you remember 30 years ago? Can you remember yesterday? Life is passing quickly. Amen? Life is passing quickly. So what's the wiser investment and the more honorable one as a child of God? So he says there's been this change. And then he says how we should live. Notice verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Can you not believe that? At least the end of my life is at hand. It's drawing nearer than ever before. But the end of all things is near. Listen, do you believe this? When we stand before the Lord, we will say, boy, was life fast. Life was very short. It was a vapor. It was here and gone. So he says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. He's talking to the child of God. And above all things, have fervent charity, fervent love among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. You're going to have to deny yourself for that as well. You can't have genuine love of Christ and be filled with self. How do you do that? How does God bring you there? Because that's how it is. We don't bring ourselves there. How does the Lord bring us to that place? Time in His Word. And not a quantity of time, but quality of time. Asking God to speak to us through His Word. There's lots of things that you can be made aware of as you read the Word of God, but we need God to speak to us through His Word. And then time in prayer. Time in prayer. Listen, if you will commit yourself for 30 days, it'll be worth your while. Whatever time frame you want to set, don't make it outrageous. Make it doable. 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is, in the morning. And I tell you that because I believe it's a biblical example. Before it's daylight is a good time to get alone with the Lord. If you can make time somewhere else, as long as you can make that appointment with God, a few moments in His Word and a few moments in prayer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? You cannot have faith if you're not feeding it. And God won't bless it, and then we will dry up spiritually, and all of a sudden the things of the world will look more attractive than the things of God. But that's not going to be that's not the truth now, and it won't be the reality later when we stand in His presence. So there are two choices for life. The lust of men, gratifying self, doing things after all for me. Think of all the different patriarchs of the faith that have gone before us. Didn't they have a choice to make? Couldn't they have just said, well, I might as well just do it like the world? Doesn't work anyway. Where would we be? But God showed us it worked. It doesn't work the way we think or the way we feel. But God brings things to pass. Listen, do you not think Daniel was awed? If anybody could have made a deal that may have not come across as compromising with the Lord, he could have just maybe skipped prayer that day. He's prayed every other day. Why not miss one day? We've missed a day, I'm sure. Somewhere in life, we've missed a day of prayer. That would have been a good day in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of the flesh, to miss prayer so they would not throw him in the lion's den. But he said no. And because he went through the trial, he experienced the awesome grace of God that delivered him. God will see us through. How about the three Hebrew children that didn't bow? Just that one time, nobody. It probably won't even be brought out in Scripture. They just won't say that they did anything. I don't believe that, but anyway. So they didn't bow. They didn't bend their knee, and they got thrown into the fiery furnace. Did they experience something worth remembering? They didn't even smell like smoke. Did strong military men perish in the fire? They did. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. You ever been at a bonfire? Right? You may not smell it at the moment, but the next day you will. So that's a choice we have to make. We're either going to really be what we say we are, or we're going to be playing games with the world. Saved by the grace of God, eternal life, absolutely. That's God's great faithfulness in spite of ours, if we're unfaithful. Is that how we want to show up in the presence of God? Is that how we show love for God? Where's our commitment? Is it to this world or to our God, to our Savior? And will you suffer? Tell me in the Bible where you don't. And what the suffering is this. So consider the cost. Consider the cost. Are you willing to suffer for the glory of God? Are you willing to deny yourself the trinkets of the pleasures of this life that are passing away? That are passing away for the glory of God. Because He paid with His life for mine. Tell me, what can you offer God in exchange for that? If you had the whole world, do you think that'll cover the cost? God wants us to take it all into account. He doesn't want us to make flippant decisions, flippant commitments. Consider the cost. So he says in verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And that requires us to deny ourselves. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's saying you're experiencing the manifold grace of God if you're saved. You have to have a history of the grace of God with salvation. And many more. So you're experiencing that. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God what? Do you see the work that God's doing in that? As we yield and submit and present ourselves before Him, He does a work. If you're not seeing the work, guess what else is not happening? You've not yielded and surrendered and submitted. You can, but you're going to have to make an intellectual with your mind decision, spiritual decision, for the world or for God. You're going to make that decision whether you say, "Well, I don't have time to make it." Well, then you've made it. You've made it. He says God wants to give us ability that in God, in all things, may be glorified. Did you see that? Look at verse 11 and we'll finish right there. Ready? If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. May it be the word of God when we speak. Fathom that thought. I need God to do that. I want to be in agreement with His word. And I have to surrender my thinking to God's word. That's a willful choice. I will take the word of God over how I feel or how I think. That's a conscientious decision. If my thoughts conflict with the word of God, I've already made an agreement. God's word rules supreme. I'm wrong and God is right. That's a decision I made in life. And I've never regretted that. And it's not something special with me. It's something special with God. Because the only way that I can ever continue to walk in that is by His grace. Can't do it. The battle's there. Now, let me share this with you. I don't do that perfectly, just in case you thought that. But I do stop and go, "Oh, that was me again." And that's wrong. That's called repentance. And God is faithful to restore. And it's not a game that I play with the Lord. It's a battle that I fight for the glory of God. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things, in our lives specifically, and in this world, may be glorified. Did you see that? Whatever you do, do it as the ability which God giveth. Now watch this. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ and in us. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's got to be the resolve of our heart. So here it is tonight. Peter's speaking to believers. Two choices for our life. We're either going to serve it to the lust of men, ours included, or to the will of God. And that's a conscientious decision that we have to be willing to make. If not, we will excuse things that we won't even choose to see that they're wrong. We'll just say, under grace, it'll take us away from the Lord. God says, I present to you a choice. The lust of men or the will of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures that you've given to us and the truths that you give us. Lord, I pray that we would submit ourselves to you, that we might experience your grace and your power, Lord, in our lives, that we might praise and worship you, be drawn closer to you, strengthened in the faith, that we might be the light, Lord, to our family, to our church family, and to the world. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.